Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Well, we were here just last Thursday, and I played live Judge Kavanaugh's testimony, and you heard me say what I thought about it as it was happening. Now, over the weekend, there's time to really reflect what we heard and saw and what happened, and give you a chance to call in and let me know what you think at 888-488-6275. But Dr. Ford, well, she was trying her best to tell the truth. Is there any doubt to that? She listened to the questions. She answered every single question. Even when the events she described clearly were emotionally painful for her, she struggled through them. And in her still small voice, made clear what she saw, what she remembered. When she wasn't sure about something, she made clear she wasn't sure about something. And she specified exactly what she knew, what she didn't know, what could help her. What could help her remember more things. And she made clear that she was doing this not for any real reason other than her civic duty. And she was doing it to help the senators. She'd be available. She wanted every investigation that could be had. She'd be around, even though it was painful to her, even though she'd gotten death threats, even though she'd been forced to move twice. She'd be around to answer any questions. She wanted to help the senators make an informed choice. She wanted to help America, but really she just wanted to tell the truth. There's not a single question she didn't answer. Compare Dr. Ford's temperament with that of Judge Kavanaugh. Alternately angry and enraged and in tears and screaming and challenging the Democrats' authority on the committee to ask him questions, and blaming the Clintons. That was one of my personal favorites. Refusing to answer question after question after question, arguing there should be no investigation, really not even answering the question of whether he would ask for an investigation. He was asked that question 8 times. He said, well, the Senate will do what the Senate wants to do. And they said, yeah, but what do you want? If you were innocent, why wouldn't you want investigation? Well, blah, 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 blah. Next question. Amy Klobuchar, Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, asked him whether he had a drinking problem and blacked out. That is what several witnesses have alleged. That could explain why Dr. Ford was telling the truth and Kavanaugh doesn't remember. And Kavanaugh said, no, do you have a drinking problem? Judge Kavanaugh acted, for all intents and purposes, like an entitled frat boy. And not like someone who was an entitled frat boy 35 years ago, but had grown out of it. No, he acted like an entitled frat boy today. If Judge Kavanaugh is not put on the U.S. Supreme Court, and I have to admit, I still think it's likely he will be, but if he's not, I dare say it was the temperament he showed at the hearing, more than the allegations of 35 years ago, that will keep him off the court. I was fascinated by what happened. I remember Judge Clarence Thomas also refusing to dignify any specific allegations, refusing to answer questions, declaring it was a high-tech lynching. We had Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, say, this man's been through hell. This is despicable. Look what you're doing to his family. His family? It's a truism in America, a very sad and depressing truism, that a guilty rich white man gets more deference than an innocent poor black man in our criminal justice system. It's also true when applying for a job. Judge Brett Kavanaugh made it clear that he was entitled to this job. At a time when Republicans complain about entitlements, how dare that poor person think they have a right to food? Who do you think they are? Jean Valjean? The man in Les Miserables who stole food to feed. I don't have to explain. Who does he think he is? Does he think he has a right to health care? Health care? Do people actually think they have a right to have benefits when they're disabled? Who do these people think they are? Well, Judge Kavanaugh acted like he was entitled to be a Supreme Court justice. He'd been working for it his entire life. He went to Yale Law School. We know, for example, that that Donald Trump claims he was first in his class at Yale Law School. Now, that isn't true. I can tell you as a Yale law grad that we didn't have rankings when Kavanaugh was there. But this entitlement, this idea that he is owed something, well, to me that was just the beginning of it. I'm going to take a break, give you a chance to call in. I got lots more to say. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back, right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Got a conservative who casually misquotes the Bible and the Constitution? Send him to school with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about really just the sheer entitlement of Judge Brett Kavanaugh. And it's fascinating to me how much the hearings on Thursday were a national Rorschach test. I heard Dr. Ford. I teared up. I found her testimony very powerful, very credible. And Kavanaugh offended me. And some people see this exactly the opposite. Lindsey Graham, Kavanaugh's been through hell. And so it made me think back, because I'm always trying to see the other side. I'm always trying to put myself in someone else's shoes. So I decided to think back to times when I have been falsely accused. How did I react? And I think of two times in my past where I have been falsely accused. In one time, I had gotten into a political argument with a group of people. We disagreed on a political question. I know that won't surprise you that that's in my character. And then something terrible happened. I won't go into the details. But I was accused of having done the terrible thing that I did not do. And I immediately reacted, said it was terrible, and had investigators interview me. And I did everything I could to answer every question they had. I answered far more than the question they asked me. They'd ask me something and I'd go into detail and I'd rack my brain. I'd say, well, I did this, I did this, I did this. I remember this. I don't really remember that. Someone said that about me? Oh, well, that's not true. This is true. Maybe they confused this with that.
I honestly don't know.
I actually was just trying to help the investigators out. Like Dr. Ford, I was trying to help the investigators get at the truth. And later on, they told me that I'd been exonerated, it wasn't me, and of course I knew it wasn't me, and I was pleased. I didn't yell, didn't scream, didn't cry. frankly, I wasn't that worried because I knew I had done nothing wrong. And I felt like I would be exonerated. Now, interestingly, had I been African American, I might well have been more nervous. Black people, particularly black men, are accused every day of things they haven't done, and sometimes they're not exonerated. But I still think my way of reacting is the way that most innocent people would do. I wanted an investigation. They said to me, can they talk to my friends? I said, yeah, talk to this one, that one, that one, talk to anybody. That's what I think an innocent person does. Kavanaugh strikes me, he kind of reminds me of some of the people I grew up with. Some of the kids at the all-boys school in my hometown of Nashville, Tennessee, who grew up in very privileged backgrounds. Privileged, sure, being wealthy, but more than that, being wealthy, white, male, of a certain class, popular, the kind of kids that did drink a lot to be cool. There's an interesting article in the Washington Post on how privileged people tend to have more alcoholic problems, actually, than poorer people do. And for him, it was the effrontery. How dare anyone challenge him? You know, looking back when I was falsely accused, I never thought, how dare anyone challenge me? I actually thought that the people who thought I did something bad that I didn't do, I believed that they believed it. Now, they were wrong. And it's true, they didn't say they were an eyewitness to what I'd done. They just assumed something was me, and it wasn't. And yeah, I mean, I was troubled by the accusation. You know, when I'm challenged, I can be a little self-righteous, but I'm not upset. If anything, maybe I'm a little too confident. I've talked about this on Facebook. One of the experiences I remember really well is boarding a plane to go to Israel when I was in, I think it was my first year of college, 18 years old. And I was going to Israel, and I knew that the transportation security agents at El Al, the Israeli Airlines, were very, very concerned about security for good reason. And they asked me some really detailed questions. Yeah, in America, they'll ask TSA, did you pack your own bags? No, not El Al. El Al agents asked me what classes I was taking. I was at Harvard College. What classes was I taking there? And I named my classes, and one of them was modern art. It was one of those core classes. I had to take a class in art. I chose modern art. And so the agent asked me, who was my favorite modern artist? And I laughed, and I said it was Kandinsky. And she said, what was my favorite painting of Kandinsky's? And I said the painting. I think it was the Blue Rider. And then, what made it my favorite? And I went and explained in detail how the colors and how they mixed with each other and how it showed movement and excitement. And I started laughing. And ever the good investigator, she said to me, why are you laughing? And I honestly replied. I said, because I think you're a damn good investigator checking out every word I say. I think it's amazing that you're asking me the details of my favorite painter in a college class that I'm taking. I was challenged, and I was looking forward to the challenge. I knew I was telling the truth, so it became like a game. I like games. Okay, I'm ready. Maybe I'm weird, but even like on a credit check, recently I went to apply for a bank account, and they're like, okay, A, did you live at this place, or B, did you live at that place, or C, did you live at that place, or D, none of the above. And I said, none of the above. Ready for the next one. It just, I don't know. It's like I knew I was telling the truth. I wasn't upset they were challenging me. Now, I haven't been accused of crime, but I've testified in court. I've been cross-examined about things I've done. And yeah, I look forward to every question. maybe I'm crazy. I didn't even prepare for it. I knew what I'd done, and I was ready for the questions. To me, there's a certain relaxation factor for me when being asked about something that I know I've got nothing to worry about. That's not what I saw in Judge Kavanaugh. Now, maybe you feel differently. Maybe you've been challenged. In fact, I'd love if you'd call in at 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275, and let me know of some time you were falsely accused. Did you act like Judge Kavanaugh? Because in my opinion, the people that go out on a rage, the people that refuse to answer questions, the people that challenge the questioner, the people that get really angry, they tend to be the guilty ones. Isn't that your experience? Judge Kavanaugh, to me, if he doesn't get on the bench, it won't be about what happened 35 years ago. It'll be what happened last week. This is a guy who claimed he would be fair to all sides, but when the mask is removed, he shows that he hates Democrats. He hates the Clintons. It's all a conspiracy to get him. And this makes sense. This is the political hack who, by the way, decided that every detail of Bill Clinton's sexual past had to be explored. Every, including some really graphic details, had to be known to the American public. That's what this guy was all about. But did he ever drink too much? Well, that's apparently none of our business. Kavanaugh made clear to me he doesn't have the temperament to sit on the court. And I was really proud, I have to say, of my friend Chris Coons, who I also went to law school with, and the way he was able to get a deal with Jeff Flake, who I think was genuinely pained by having to listen to the real pain of sexual assault survivors. But just for an instant, I want you to imagine that the roles were reversed. Imagine that Judge Brett Kavanaugh was quiet and thoughtful and racking his brain and answering every question to the best he could and admitting when he didn't remember something and admitting when he didn't have all the facts, but saying maybe, yeah, you know what, I did drink a lot in high school and I shouldn't have and I may not remember everything and I'm sorry about that. It's not who I am today. And then imagine Dr. Ford came to the stand. And she was screaming, and she was yelling, and she was challenging the Republicans. And she was saying how much hell she'd been through, and she was refusing to answer questions and demanding that there be no investigation whatsoever. She should just be believed. You know, it's hard to do that thought experiment, isn't it? It's unimaginable. And part of it is, yeah, we allow a man to rage and scream and cry, whereas we don't allow a woman to do that. But part of it is his sense of entitlement versus hers. She didn't have that sense of entitlement. And do we really want on the Supreme Court someone who believes that certain people are entitled to things that other Americans aren't? That won't rule justice, equality under the law? Be right back to discuss it. Lances.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I've been talking about the Kavanaugh hearings and really the sense of entitlement of this guy. He just doesn't feel like he has to answer questions. How dare they ask him questions about high school? How dare they ask him questions about his drinking habits? Amy Klobuchar, how dare you ask me questions? What's your issue? I just don't think that's the way an innocent person reacts when they're challenged. To me, an innocent person acts like Dr. Ford. Here's what I know. Here's what I don't know. I'm trying to help you as best I can. Here's what you could tell me that would make it easier for me to figure out and answer your questions. If you're a police officer and you're interviewing Dr. Ford, and then you're interviewing Brett Kavanaugh, who would you believe? Let me go to Mark in San Francisco. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, on your subject of Kavanaugh, you know, his behavior and his partisan politics towards the Democratic Party is outrageous. And I think he disqualified himself just by his behavior. He's not qualified to be on the Supreme Court, let alone any court. And as far as the Republican Party is concerned, they just passed permanent tax cuts for the rich. They've also proposed cutting Medicare, Social Security, and this is the entitlement party that feels that all these tax cuts should go to the rich and cut all these programs that belong to the working families of America.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Obviously, I disagree with the Republicans' tax cuts, and obviously, I disagree with what they're doing there. But that's a political choice. I think they're making the wrong choice. I think they're making a cruel choice. But they ran for office. They said, you know, we're going to help. They might have said we're going to help rich people at the expense of poor people, but it's up to the people to figure out what they're doing and vote them out. That's politics. We have elections every 2 years for a reason. A judge on the U.S. Supreme Court is not supposed to be political. Now, I realize they are much, you know, more so now than ever before in American history, but that's a shame. And one of the things that very few people have noticed, and I've looked it up, is that before Neil Gorsuch, there's never been someone solidly rejected by the American people who chose a Supreme Court justice before. Let me explain. Most presidents are chosen by the popular vote. Very few of them are not. So I went back and noticed that George Bush, for example, who was rejected by the American people in 2000, did not choose any justices in his first term. In his second term in 2004, I didn't vote for him, but he did win the majority of the American people. He appointed his two justices then, and they were approved by 60 senators because they required 60 to get past a filibuster. So I went back in time and looked at the other presidents who were chosen by the electoral vote, not the popular vote. Before George Bush, I had to go back 100 years for Benjamin Harrison. Benjamin Harrison appointed several Supreme Court justices, but all of them were either unanimously approved or approved by a vote of at least 80% of the Senate. Before him, we had Rutherford B. Hayes, who, again, lost the popular vote. He also had all his judges chosen by at least 80% of the Senate. I went back to John Quincy Adams, the first president not chosen by the majority of the American people, and he had his judges unanimously approved or approved by at least 80%. Prior to Neil Gorsuch, every single judge on the U.S. Supreme Court needed 60 votes. And I recognize the Senate is not Democratic. We have small states way overrepresented, California way underrepresented. That's not fair. And so you have to kind of look at which of the 60 judges there are. In fact, they showed a poll recently about the senators that supported Kavanaugh, and they were 44% of the American public, and those that opposed him were 55%, with 1% undecided. So the American people, through their elected representatives, have already rejected Kavanaugh. But had they kept the 60-vote margin, it wouldn't matter. But here we have a president rejected by the American people and a Senate rejected by the American people choosing a judge rejected by the American people. And this is a guy that is not only unelected, but he gets a lifetime tenure over some really important issues. He is not legitimate, totally apart from all of the allegations, which, for the record, I believe Dr. Ford. This is a man who has no legitimacy because he's being chosen by people who were not chosen by the American people. And when Thomas Jefferson talks about consent of the governed, as he does in the Declaration of Independence, he makes it clear that there's not a legitimate government when it's not done by consent of the governed. So now we have a president, a Congress, and a Supreme Court, all of which were not chosen by the American people, at least not by the majority of the American people. And that's a problem. So that's my extended rant, but not many people have focused on that, Mark. At least I haven't seen that many places.
That's a really interesting point. The other thing is, if he does get on the Supreme Court, what will it do to the integrity of the Supreme Court? I think it'll destroy it.
Well, I think you're right. I think now, to be fair, the Supreme Court's been going downhill for some years. I would argue it started with Clarence Thomas when, you know, he had a very, very similar reaction to Judge Brett Kavanaugh. You know, Scalia, certainly. But it, even though Scalia had his very, very Scalia, interesting case, and I've actually debated Scalia back when he was alive. Scalia claimed to care about the Constitution. Now, he didn't. He would absolutely ignore. For example, he ignored the first half of the Second Amendment. Said, I just am going to ignore the first half. I don't like it. I'm going to ignore it. But he pretended to care. We now have a judge who no longer even pretends to care, who's made it clear that he's going to be a Republican political hack. If the president wants to commit crimes, he'll allow it. If the Republicans want him to do something, he'll allow it. He can't trust any Democrat. He's never going to be a fair judge on the bench. He basically just said so. Now, he didn't say so in his first hearings, but apparently when pressed, this guy gets angry and belligerent and uncontrolled. Huh. Angry, belligerent, and uncontrolled. And apparently he doesn't even have to be drinking to do it. That might tell you something about, again, whether or not we should believe Dr. Ford.
Well, Mark, thank you. Interesting times.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for your call. I apologize for those looking for me on Facebook. My internet connection is down, but glad for all of you listening on the radio and Progressive Voices. You know, this hearing troubles me in so many ways. It troubles me because it suggests to me that sexual assault survivors will be even more afraid to speak out. Dr. Ford said that she was afraid to speak out because she's afraid no one would listen to her. Now, I'm not saying that every single person who makes an allegation is to be automatically believed. I'm telling you why I find her credible and why I find him incredible. And I've had people write me on Facebook, on email, Mark, what about innocence until proven guilty? We must assume Judge Kavanaugh is innocent. They're citing, for example, that prosecutor from Arizona who said that she did not have enough evidence based on Dr. Ford's testimony to charge Brett Kavanaugh with a crime. You know what? I agree with her. I think she's right. I don't think there's evidence to prove that he's committed a crime. I don't think a reasonable jury would find beyond a reasonable doubt that Judge Kavanaugh needs to lose his freedom and go to jail. That's true. But surely the standard for hiring a Supreme Court justice has to be greater than the standard of not going to jail. Right? They can't be the same standards. What if you were trying to hire an employee? And the employee, to be fair, was not a convicted sexual predator. A jury had not found beyond a reasonable doubt that this employee was a convicted sexual predator, but several people had accused him of such, and he refused to answer questions about it, and he refused an investigation, and he got really angry when you asked him about it, and he started asking you, the employer, about what you did and who you were, and made it clear that he could get easily rattled, and make it clear that he could get angry easily. Would you hire that person to be your employee? I'm not even sure we could hire him to be a fast food employee. Maybe. Would you hire that person to be your lawyer? Would you hire that person? Would you vote for that person? Would you vote for that person to be your mayor? Your governor? Your president? Well, maybe some people saw that in Donald Trump and voted for him. I wouldn't. I wouldn't vote for someone I didn't trust. And God knows I wouldn't want someone like that to get a lifetime appointment to the United States Supreme Court where they get to decide the fate of me and 300 million Americans. So I concede there is no evidence sufficient to put Brett Kavanaugh in jail. Point conceded. Heck, there's not enough evidence, apparently, based on the trial, to put O.J. Simpson in jail, at least based on the first charges against him. That doesn't mean I think O.J. Simpson is entitled to be a United States Supreme Court justice. Hundreds of millions of Americans aren't in prison. That doesn't mean they all get to be on the United States Supreme Court. And the thing I found most offensive about Brett Kavanaugh was how entitled he was. How he'd been through hell because he might have to wait another week before he gets 30 years on the United States Supreme Court. And look, I'm entitled too. I went to Yale Law School. I was there when Brett Kavanaugh was there. I was 2 years behind him, so I didn't know him very well. I know sort of what it feels. Not quite. I wasn't from the frat boy culture. I didn't join any of the finals clubs. Apparently, Brett Kavanaugh joined one that, well, it was called Truth and Courage, but its nickname, I don't even know if I can say this on the air, another TNC, you can look it up. And the motto, apparently, of this particular frat, which is called Fancy Secret Clubs at Secret Societies at Yale, the motto was, no means yes, yes means anal. Sorry about that. This is a frat that would parade women's underwear. This is what he lived in. And you know what? If Judge Kavanaugh said, you know what? I was a different person when I was 17. I was. I drank too much. I was in a frat. Many of us were in fraternities, and for those of you who know something about fraternities, they're misogynistic places, right? Fraternities generally do not treat women well, and mine didn't either. And when I think back about what they did, I'm horrified, and there's nothing I can do to change it. I didn't run the frat, but I'm sure I said some insulting things. I'm horrified by what we said about Renalte Dolphin, who is a fine woman. And we had this running joke that she was sexually active. And it was a stupid running joke. And it was mean, and it was cruel, and it was sadistic. And not only am I sorry for what we did when I was 17, but I commit to you that I will work hard to teach young men how wrong it is to be this way. And I have shown in my past 20 years that I am not the same person I was when I was 17. And I believe in women, and I want them to be heard. And I'm not going to justify what I did then. I'm not going to justify it. It was wrong. And I'm sorry. And no one's perfect. Can you imagine if he said that? Would anyone deny him a seat on the Supreme Court? We might deny it for his jurisprudence, but we wouldn't deny it for his past. Have I ever heard a sexist comment? Yeah. Have I heard a racist comment? Yeah. Have I heard a homophobic comment? Yeah. I've heard anti-Semitic comments. And I'm Jewish. I'm gay. And most of the time, I spoke up. Most of the time, I told that person I didn't agree. I thought that was mean. But I'm not going to tell you I did it all the time. I'm not going to tell you that when I was a little kid, I responded to every single racist joke by telling them it was wrong. And I should have. I didn't always know better. Maybe, nah, I take that back. I did know better. I did know better. But it's just hard when you're 10 and 12 and 14 to stand up. I think it's fair to say I did most of the time, but not all the time. Admitting your own imperfection is human, it's truthful, it shows self-introspection, it shows that you are willing to analyze even something as difficult as yourself and come to reasonable conclusions. And by admitting one's own fault, because I'm sorry, Brett Kavanaugh, you ain't perfect, is actually more endearing. It would help you, even if Brett Kavanaugh, even if you did it just to get the job. Did you ever consider just telling the truth? I mean, look at Dr. Ford. Life would be a lot easier if she would pick a date and a place where this occurred. She doesn't remember. She remembers this. She doesn't remember that. And that's just the way it is. And maybe her story would be stronger if she remembered every last detail. I would suggest to you that if she did, she'd probably be lying. If she told you she remembered every last detail, every word said 35 years ago, I'd say, that's a liar. We know memory is imperfect. We know people are imperfect. And the fact that Brett Kavanaugh pretended to be perfect is offensive to me because it tells me he's a liar. And so whatever he did 35 years ago, there's no question in my mind that Judge Brett Kavanaugh lied under oath last week. And that's not a reflection of who he is at age 17. That's a reflection of who he is today. Someone who's so crafty, so conniving, so Machiavellian, that rather than answer a question truthfully, he's going to work it to get what he wants. Imagine this person on the court. He sees a litigant. He knows the litigant is right, but nope, that litigant opposes his party. That litigant's a Democrat, or an immigrant, or a woman, or a gay person, or someone who doesn't want Brett Kavanaugh's particular religion shoved down his or her throat. Well, Brett Kavanaugh has shown that rather than listen honestly to a case, rather than carefully examine the facts, he's going to manipulate. He's going to put things in packages. He's going to dissemble. He's going to prevaricate. He's going to create the facts that he wants to see rather than a judicial examination of what the facts are. I don't even like that in a politician, but I know I don't want that in a judge. I don't want my judicial fate, if I'm being charged with a crime, I don't want it to be determined by a judge with a chip on his shoulder. A judge determined to get to the right conclusion no matter what the facts and the law are. That's not a judge. That's not a tribunal. That's a dictatorship. That's precisely not even due process. I wouldn't hire this guy to be a traffic judge, because I want fair traffic judges as well. So the best part about this analysis is that even though, and you can read it on Facebook, I've gone into the details of what I think happened on July 1st, 1982 at Timmy Gaudette's house. I think it was Squee, who's Chris Garrett was his nickname, who was dating Dr. Ford at the time. I think he drove her to and from the party, but she couldn't tell him because he was a close friend of Brett Kavanaugh. I can analyze all the facts of 35 years ago and tell you why I think her story rings true. But you know what? I don't have to. Judge Kavanaugh did not disqualify himself from the United States Supreme Court because of what he did 35 years ago. Judge Kavanaugh disqualified himself from the United States Supreme Court because of what he did last week. He lied under oath. He dissembled. He showed no respect for the process. He showed no respect for the rule of law. He showed no respect for the American people. No, I'm not going to put him in jail. I wouldn't put him in jail. But we do not need someone like that on the United States Supreme Court. This is Mark Levine. Talk to you on Thursday. Signing off for now.